Let's pray. Father, indeed you do know us. You know us better than we know ourselves. We pray, Father, that today we will find comfort and strength in the realization that you do see, that you do hear, that you do know. And Lord, we thank you that you desire to deliver us and to set us free from the bondage of corruption, sin, that has been destroying us. Open now our hearts, Lord, that you might speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This week we start the book of Exodus, and we're taking the first three chapters of the book of Exodus this week. And so tonight, we'll be covering Exodus chapters 1 through 3. So we encourage you to read them over and join with us as we go through the whole Bible, beginning with Genesis and going through to the book of Revelation. Tonight, Exodus 1 through 3. This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to the third chapter and beginning with verse 7. It is said that the life of Moses can be divided into three equal segments. The first 40 years of Moses' life was spent in Pharaoh's court becoming somebody. The next 40 years of his life was spent in the wilderness realizing that he was nobody. The next 40 years of his life was spent in discovering that God can take nobody and make somebody of him. And so we are coming here to the end of the second segment of his life. He has been 40 years in the wilderness, watching the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro, when suddenly he is attracted to a burning bush. The fascinating thing was that though the bush continued to burn, it was not consumed. And so he decided, out of curiosity, to go over and to see how it was that the bush continued to burn and yet wasn't consumed. As he came near to the burning bush, he heard the voice of God speaking to him out of the bush, saying to him, "Take your sandals off your feet. You're standing on holy ground." And then we read in verse 7, the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, a large land, a land that flows with milk and honey, unto the place where the Canaanites dwell." God said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people." In the psalm that we read this morning, the psalm of David, he spoke about how God saw and God knew him. "He knows everything about me. He saw me before my body was even formed in my mother's womb. Nothing is hid from him." He said, "You have searched me. You have known me." Jesus sought to impress upon the disciples the fact that their heavenly Father was watching over them. He said, "Your father knows what you have need of before you ever ask him." He said, "When you give, don't make a big display over your giving, but give to your father who sees in secret, and your father who sees in secret will reward you openly. When you pray, don't make a big show and display, but go into your closet, shut the door, and pray to your father who seeth in secret, and your father who seeth in secret shall reward you openly." God sees, the Bible tells us, the secrets of our heart. I think that Satan oftentimes seeks to deceive us into thinking that we can hide from God. You remember in the book of Jonah that as Jonah began to flee from the call of God, it said he was seeking to flee from the presence of God. He was seeking to hide from God. Adam and Eve sought to hide from God. And many times people are deceived into thinking that they can actually hide from God. We read, and we have read this past week in the first couple of chapters, how that Moses went out among the children of Israel when he was sort of one of the leaders of Egypt. He saw an Egyptian who was physically abusing one of the Hebrew slaves. It said, and he looked this way, and he looked that way. And he saw no man, and so he killed the Egyptian. Sometimes we as Moses look this way, we look that way. We don't see any man, and so we assume that nobody is looking, and we engage in some evil activity. Though Moses looked this way and that way and saw no man, he didn't look up. And that's the mistake that we often make too. We don't look up and realize the Lord sees me. The Lord is watching me. David in Psalm 94 said, "He that created your ear, don't you realize that he can hear? The one who created your eye, don't you realize he can see?" David had thought that he had gotten by with his sin with Bathsheba. And yet, God saw what he did, and God dealt with David for his sin. The fact that God sees me can bring me great comfort. When I am distressed, when I'm in trouble, when I don't know which way to turn, it is comforting to know that God sees me. The fact that God sees me can be sort of terrifying if I am doing things that are wrong, to realize that God sees me. And so it all depends on me, how this idea hits me. The Lord hath seen. Well, if I've been doing something good, I'm sort of glad. If I need help, I'm glad. But if I'm doing something wrong, it sort of is terrifying to realize that God sees. God saw his people. They were in Egypt and they were in great distress. They had been subjugated by the Egyptians. They were being treated extremely cruelly. And God saw their sorrows. God saw their distress. He said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt." One of my grandsons came home from Sunday school one Sunday. And he said to his dad, "Dad, is God watching me? And his dad said, why would you ask me that question? He said, well, my Sunday school teacher today told me that God was watching me. Is that so? His dad said, why did your Sunday school teacher tell you that God was watching you? And he said, well, I pulled on the ponytail of the girl that was sitting in front of me, and the teacher told me God was watching me. But that doesn't matter, Dad. I want to know, is that true? Is God really watching me? And his dad answered and said, well, son, it is true. God is watching you because he loves you so much he can't take his eyes off of you. God's watching you today because he loves you so much he can't take his eyes off of you. He sees the things that you're going through. He sees the things that bring pain to your life. He sees the hurts that you're experiencing. God not only said, I have seen, but God said, I have heard their cry. Life had become intolerable for the Hebrews. They were crying out to God because of the heavy burdens that were being laid upon them by their taskmasters. Slavery is a horrible thing. No person has the right to subjugate another person and seek to control their lives completely. Jesus told his disciples that the heathen love to exercise lordship over others. But he said, it shall not be so among you. Whoever would be the chief among you, let him become the servant of all. Paul declared that in Christ, we are all equal. There is neither Jew nor Greek, barbarian, Scythian, a bondman or a free man. We are all one in him. The Lord and the slave stand on the same level when they stand before the Lord. Have you ever cried to the Lord out of the distress of your soul and you felt that God didn't hear you, that God wasn't responding? David, it seems, had that feeling. And so he cried, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Open your ear when I'm in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Again, David said, hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto you will I pray. Again, David said, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. The prophet Isaiah said that God's hand is not short, that he cannot reach you. His ear is not heavy, or that is, God isn't deaf, that he cannot hear you. But your sins have separated you from God. Oftentimes, the problem isn't on God's side, it's on our side. It's not that God can't hear me. It isn't that God doesn't hear me. But it's the fact that there is sin in my life that sort of breaks the connection. God said, I've heard their cry. And how wonderful it is to realize that God will hear me when I cry unto him. John said, we know that if we ask anything according to his will, that he hears us. I'm always amazed that God will listen when I talk to him. That to me just amazes me. The creator of this universe will hear me when I call to him. We sing, he knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. Amazing. He hears me when I call. But the Lord then said, I know their sorrows. I see what they're going through. I've heard their cry, and I know their sorrows. God understands our sorrows. He sees our falling tear, and he whispers, I am with you. So sorrow not, nor fear. God sees your broken heart. God knows all about those things that have created distress in your life today. God knows the anxieties that you have over the situations in which you find yourself. God knows your weariness. He knows your fear of the future. There's not a single thing that God does not know about you. David said, you have searched me, you've known me. You know when I'm down, you know when I'm up. There's not a thing about me that you do not understand completely. Such knowledge, he said, is too great for me. I cannot attain to it. Self-knowledge, God knows all about me. I have found that it is quite interesting how tears seem to touch our hearts. I can be going through a mall and I can see a stranger, someone I've never met, ever seen before. And if they're sitting there crying, I feel compelled to go up to them and say, can I help you? There's something about tears that just touch a person's heart. And it is interesting that our tears touch the heart of our Father. He sees, he hears, and he knows, he said, their sorrow. Then he went one step further. He said, and I have come to deliver them. It's wonderful that God sees. It's wonderful that God knows. It's wonderful that God hears. But if that were all, it wouldn't be much benefit. If we would say, oh God, do you know what's going on? He said, yes, I see. Oh God, I need your help. Yes, I hear you. Lord, this is really terrible. Yes, I realize that. And if it ended there, there wouldn't be much benefit. God said, I see, I hear, I know, and I have come to deliver. Oh, what a blessing. A lot of times, our friends will say, oh, I see. Oh, boy, I hear you. Oh, I know. This must be heavy. God bless you, brother. Hope you come out okay. But God takes it a step further. He said, I've come to deliver. The Hebrews had come under horrible bondage. They were demanded to do more than what they could possibly do, and then they were beaten for not doing it. But the problem was there seemed to be no way out, no escape from their situation. They were hopelessly caught in the trap, and it appeared that they would spend their entire life in this kind of misery and suffering and pain. they would go to sleep at night bone weary because of the long day labor that they were forced to do for the Egyptians. And God is saying, I have come to deliver you. Today is what is traditionally known as Palm Sunday in the church. It is the Sunday before the crucifixion. It is that Sunday that Jesus made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem as he rode in on a donkey to present himself to the nation as their promised deliverer, their promised Messiah. And as he was riding into Jerusalem, and as the disciples were waving their palm branches and crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the King, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Jesus began to weep because he had come to deliver. But his disciples did not know the cost of deliverance. They were shouting. They were excited. They could envision themselves in just being raised and elevated to a place of prominence and power as they felt that he was going to set up the kingdom now. And Jesus was weeping over the blindness of the people, even his disciples, who did not understand that he had come to deliver, but the deliverance would take a great price. It would cost him his life upon the cross in order to bring deliverance. But the world was in bondage and slavery to sin. The world was being destroyed by sin. Men, women, individuals were being destroyed by the power of sin. And God said, I see. What's going on? I see what sin is doing to your life and to the world. And many people were crying for help, trying to somehow free them from the bondage of sin. But anyone who has tried to extricate himself from the powers of darkness have discovered the impossibility of that. And it looks like you're going to have to live your whole life in the bondage of corruption. But God said, I've heard your cry. I know what you're going through. I know the sorrow that sin has brought. I know the pain that sin has brought, and I've come to deliver. And so God sent his Son to deliver us from the power of sin and to bring us into a glorious life. God said, I'm going to bring you into a land that's flowing with milk and honey. And God wants to bring you into a glorious life of freedom from sin in Jesus Christ. A life of joy, blessing, awaits those who will accept God's deliverance. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have seen, you've heard, you know. And we thank you that you have sent your Son to deliver us from the power of sin, to set us free, and to bring us into a wonderful, rich, full life, the life in Christ. Lord, today there are those who are crying out. They find themselves blocked by the powers of darkness, held by its chains. And they're being destroyed. And they've been brought into despair because there seems to be no way out. Lord, as they cry today, we know that you hear. Come deliver, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand? The pastors are down here at the front this morning. As soon as we're dismissed, if you desire prayer, if you desire deliverance, they're here to pray for you. That God will set you free from the powers of darkness. That God will transform your life. And that you can go home today freed from the slavery to sin. And so we encourage you, come on forward as soon as we're dismissed. They're here to pray for you. This is a very important week as far as remembering. We remember the death of Jesus Christ this week. The price that he paid to deliver us. We remember the glorious resurrection. And we just pray that this will be a special week in your life. A week in which God just draws you close to himself. And it will become very meaningful to you, the fact that Jesus died to deliver you from sin. And that he lives to make intercession for you before the Father in heaven today. And may you draw close to him, and we know that he will draw close to you because that's his promise.